Ben Gendonic, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Live at Bridgestone Arena, Predators versus Blues tonight at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Usually we have Elliot Friedman in this spot, but Elliot had a conflict. Elliot will join us tomorrow, I believe, around noon. So Elliot Friedman will join us tomorrow. So we will still get to talk to Elliot Friedman this week. By the way, tomorrow we will be out at First Horizon Park for Nashville Sound's opening day against the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Delicious.
And once again, happy opening day.
Nope.
Technicality?
Nope.
Technicality?
Nope. Nope,
it's
not opening day.
Technically it's not,
day.
But today is opening day quotations.
Hey, MLB, y'all did this. So.
Well, Willie, I likened it to when the Predators went to Prague a couple of years ago
right.
and played the Sharks about 4 or 5 days before the rest of the NHL started.
Right.
And although that was the opening day,
yeah.
quote-unquote, of the NHL season, nobody really recognized.
But the MLB prides themselves on opening day. This is the day
hey, hold on.
For all you baseball fanatics. This is
college
the day.
Football has week zero, and that's
Take
technically week
me
one.
Out to the ball game.
Yeah, the
game.
The college game in Ireland, is that opening day? Like, that
but no, game? That day oh, happened why? In Japan with the Cubs and the Dodgers. Take me out to the bar.
I digress.
There you go.
D-Mace is just trying to rain on yeah. the parade of opening day. We're still going to celebrate.
Mr. Scrooge
okay?
of opening day.
I'm sorry I didn't get up at 3 a.m. to watch the Dodgers and sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game in Tokyo whatever time in the morning it was.
It's opening day in America. How about that? Yeah, does that yeah, work for you, D-Mace?
Well, did the game come on in America?
Yeah, it did, okay. it did.
But it didn't happen in America.
It happened for me in America.
D-Mace is not going to let this go. He's not going to let this go.
This is
it happened for me in Nashville.
To celebrate this on is, our own after the show.
This is Derek's.
I love y'all. I'm just messing with
this is Derek's version of lemon lime Gatorade.
Exactly.
Right. He will not relent.
He'll never let it go. But we're discussing the Titans and whether or not we should be concerned or how concerned should we be that the Titans' dysfunction could affect Cam Ward if he is indeed the number one pick. And just for kicks and giggles, here are the over-under win totals for next season according to Bet Online. The Titans are among a cluster of teams at 5.5. With the Giants, Jets, Raiders, and Saints, the Browns are at 4.5. The Colts and the Panthers are at 6.5. And I am not going to attempt to argue that the Titans of recent history have not been dysfunctional, because they absolutely have. Mike Vrabel was, John Robinson was fired in the middle of the season.
I think that would be the starting point, right?
Right.
After a pretty nice run.
Yes.
Where people felt pretty good about the direction of things. Suddenly, that move, even though there was trouble brewing with the bad drafts, but the knee-jerk firing of John Robinson, to me, would be the start of, whoa, what's going on here?
So you had that firing, and Rand Carthon comes in, and it's collaboration, and Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon don't seem to gel, and then Mike Vrabel gets fired, and then Ryan Callahan comes in, and then Ryan Carthon hires Chad Brinker, and then Chad Brinker overtakes Rand Carthon, and Rand Carthon gets fired. So no argument that the Titans over the past few seasons have certainly been dysfunctional. But I'm not prepared to put them on the same field as the Jets or the Browns, who have been consistently dysfunctional now for how long? A decade,
mm-hmm.
more than a decade. When was the last time the Jets made the playoffs? 2012, 2011. Their owner
yeah.
reportedly uses Madden ratings to approve or nix trades, according to The mm-hmm. Athletic. We know how dysfunctional the Browns are. The Deshaun Watson trade, the Deshaun Watson contract. There are many more examples. So although the Titans certainly are a dysfunctional franchise at the moment, I'm not lumping them into that same group as the Jets and the Browns, if you want to throw the Raiders in there maybe, just because it's a smaller span of time. And the Titans are not that far removed from some sustained success.
Okay. You said their prediction this season is what, 5.5 wins?
Yes.
5.5 wins. And everybody's considering them a dumpster fire of an organization, or at least the front office. They just think, let's not say dumpster fire, incompetent. They can be incompetent, and they haven't shown anyone that they're going to be anything outside of incompetent. Not everyone, excuse me, let me take that back. Now, there are some out there that believe that. Okay, I get it. The Washington Commanders, because you're essentially, you asked the organization, or you pleaded at the organization, that they change things, and they did change things. Now, whether in order that they changed things, we can debate that, but they did make changes at that one key position on a team, and that's GM. You wanted the GM gone, he was gone. I know others wanted the GM and Brinker gone and the head coach gone. I get it. We can argue that later. Okay, but they did exactly what you asked them to do. They went and got a new GM. Now, how you feel about that new GM or who's really running it, that's up to you. The Washington Commanders, before they drafted Jaden Daniels, it was a dump. Now, that was a dumpster fire. Then what did they do? They changed owner. They went and changed ownership, but in the process of changing ownership, change GMs, change head coaches, bring some new life into the building. I'm sure there are some guys within management that have been there prior to them coming in. So they probably just hung around. They may not be around too much longer, but they were there last year. And even with drafting Caleb Williams, that they were predicted to win 6.5 games last year. 6.5, even with all that change, and people deem, well, good, because they got that riffraff and that trash out that was running, you know, that whole regime. They got them all out. What happened? They end up making the 10 NFC Championship game, right? This is a team that was picked to win six games, six and a half, even with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
He had already even with Jaden Daniels. So what? All I'm saying is this. Y'all asked for the change. Y'all got the change at that key position. Let them, if it shows that they end up not knowing what they're doing and they draft Cam and he isn't developing, then okay. But right now, they are doing essentially what the Commanders did, not to that extreme, but they are doing essentially what the Commanders did as far as front office. They changed some things within the front office that they felt and the fan base felt needed to be changed. Now we need to see how, if they do draft Cam Ward, can he play the way Jaden Daniels played or close to it? And if that is indeed the case, they are predicted to win five games. I guarantee you they will win nine.
I was going to use the Buccaneers of the 80s. I always do that. Like, if you look at most organizations, there are some that avoid getting that tag of, wow, lost confidence. Nobody, you have the reputation. Boy, they're just going to bungle everything.
I know they're, about being around an organization that bungled everything.
Yeah.
The Lions for 50 years.
That's a great example. The Buccaneers, I grew up when I moved to Florida, they were that team. Like, they were just the laughing stock, and everything they're going to do is going to be wrong. You know, Bo Jackson said, go ahead and draft me first overall. I'm not playing for you. Mm-hmm. What did they do? They drafted him first overall, and he didn't play for him. He never went down there. He said, I'll go play baseball. That, they had the first pick in the draft, and they drafted a guy that never played for them. That's how bad it was. But where are they now? They've won a couple Super Bowls. They got a good thing going down there. You can cycle out of that if you get the right people, right? And who was the guy? Like, they got Tony Dungy down there, and they got some good football people. They drafted, they got a good defense. They built some things, and they grew out of the weight of being that organization that never gets it right.
I received a text on my personal text line. Not driven
from
by
Arlo?
Arlo's listening. That's great.
If Arlo, one, can text this legibly, and two, do it at school, I'll be impressed. No, it's from one that, you know, might. That, you know, has the same temperament as my 3-year-old son sometimes, uh-huh. Jared Stillman.
Uh-huh.
Jared Stillman texted me saying, "The Browns made the playoffs last year. You absolutely are with the Browns, Giants, Jets, Raiders, Jags, and Panthers. The Commanders were there and have graduated because everyone is out."
But you can. My point is you can go in cycles, right? The Giants, I think most of their tenure mm-hmm. has been a pretty well-respected organization. They took a hit because mm-hmm. everything they did was broadcast over the summer, and it burned them, right? And then they mm-hmm. were awful, right? So that kind of has you taking a hit, and it has people question your confidence. But they've been a pretty well-run mm-hmm. organization, probably more so than the Jets, right, reputation-wise. But they still are kind of in the doghouse right now with their fans.
It's recency bias again.
It is recency bias.
It's okay. You know,
the Browns are in a relatively successful era. If you look at the last 5 or 6 years, they got some playoff wins in there. As Jared said, they made the playoffs.
Yeah, but you look at the Browns. Okay.
Flacco saved their season,
yeah.
right?
Flacco saved it.
Yeah.
But everybody ties it all to the Deshaun Watson trade.
Right.
That's where the Browns, everybody feel the Browns just completely lost. Like, they are a dumpster fire. That whole, and, hey, listen, it hadn't worked for them. And now they got to sit in it. You know, and luckily they got a playoff, you know, visit in the midst of all of this, or a playoff berth in the midst of all of this 2 years ago. But let's not just sit here. That's why I say it's all recency bias. Let's just not sit here and act as if 3-4 years ago we wasn't saying this organization is getting it. They got it. They are one of the best franchises around. When they were winning, when Vrabel and Robinson were the best thing since peanut butter and jelly, you know, when they were the best thing since Cadillac and White Wall tires. Come on, that was 3 years ago. Or 4 years ago. Now all of a sudden they are, and I get it. Some of the moves that they have made were personnel, draft picks, and the likes. I get it. But y'all wanted change and they gave it to y'all. Now we got to see if this new group of guys together and girls together, if there are some in there somewhere that are may helping make decisions, the group of individuals, let's just say that. If the group of individuals that y'all have put together, if they show they can get the job done once the season starts, then okay, I'm good. But at least give them the opportunity to show it, and don't point to me, you know, about the dysfunction. Because again, I thought Robbie was great at his job. I believed he was great, and I'm not the only person that's in that boat. But that doesn't mean to me, again, because I don't know all the inner workings of it and why it happened and how they did it. But that doesn't mean to me that they are a horrible, just like a dysfunctional, not horrible, but a dysfunctional front office.
I do think they're a dysfunctional front office in a lot of ways. But that doesn't mean that good football people can't overcome that if they draft well. And they coach well, and they get good players.
And how will you know that once the guys start playing?
You got to get a little lucky, but and look, I'm not discounting, but they are dysfunctional. There's no way.
There's been some.
There's a reason why everybody is doing this and making it about, because they see it every day.
But I'm talking about from the
years and years.
I'm talking about from the football side with this new group.
Yeah. Right. Is Mike Borgonzi going to be able to captain the ship?
Exactly.
We'll see. We don't know,
mm-hmm.
but this is it all starts. He gets to step in there and have the first pick, like John Robinson. John Robinson wielded that into uh-huh. some success. He overcame all of the dysfunction that was going on then. Bud Adams passed away. Bud Adams, in his last few years, was getting up there. He wasn't always there. He was, you know, he was getting, just like old people do who age, not day to day as super sharp as he could be. Even 10-15 years before, he wasn't the sharpest guy. He was always detached from mm-hmm. Nashville. They had to overcome all of that. That was crazy. That wasn't ideal. But Jeff Fisher and Floyd mm-hmm. Reese made it work. They figured out how to be successful in spite of that. And then he was gone, and they had this nebulous leadership group for a while in the family who's one-third, one-third, one-third. Well, the NFL said you can't do that. Somebody's got to take it. So
Tommy
Smith, she took over, but John Robinson came in. Despite all of that, he had the first pick. He started building a pretty good roster, and they won some games. So they could be separated. But they but people make no mistake about it, the organization is dysfunctional.
Yes, some of the things that they've done from the top and how they fired, you know, and I'm just talking about football people. I'm putting
the football ops is separate than everything else.
That's what I'm saying, the football ops, the way that they've sort of done things, okay? Listen, and I think now the saying is, what is it? Hope for the best and prepare for the worst, something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's flipped now, and maybe because of what the Titans have done. People are preparing for the worst, and they're just like, man, I hope they do well. I mean, I don't know, but I'm preparing for them not to do well, where it shouldn't be that way. But, again, because of moves that this regime, and I'm only talking this regime, because of the moves that they made in the hierarchy, things that are not football, on the field related stuff, like in regards to diagramming plays and setting up offenses and defenses and game planning. Because of the things that they've done outside of that, the firing of Robbie, however it was done, I don't know how it was done, the firing of other people.
Well, you can go into the PSLs.
I'm just saying this. I'm saying this year. I'm just saying
the prices they're asking.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
There's a lot of things that you can nitpick
on. I'm just saying, like, this, for this regime now that's together. But outside of that, like, the football stuff on the field, like, they went out and they addressed. They did all the things. Again, and maybe I'm just looking at it from a too much of a neutral standpoint. I get it. But I don't see what they have done from a player standpoint that has been that egregious. I'm talking about the people that are here now. That egregious that y'all don't think that they can get the job done.
615-737-1025. Well, we will continue to take your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let me remind all of you that D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick is proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. We'll switch gears here for a moment. The NCAA tournament resumes tonight. Three SEC teams are in action tonight. We will discuss that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063 of the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Blues tonight at 7 o'clock. Also tonight, the NCAA tournament resumes with four games. Two in Newark, New Jersey, and two in San Francisco, California. Actually, before we get to that. It is opening day.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go.
So let me introduce you to a concession that the minor league Trenton Thunder, New Jersey. Speaking of Newark, New Jersey, not too far in Trenton, New Jersey.
Trenton a little closer to Philadelphia.
Yes.
Down in southern New Jersey.
The Trenton Thunder are offering a concession known as the Swine Brew.
The Swine Brew.
Combine your two favorite concessions in one concession item this year with a 10-ounce beer with chunks of pork.
What?
Here's an update.
What?
Here's an update. To ensure the quality of the pork and that it's served at the appropriate temperature, the beer will be served hot. See you at the ballpark.
I'm not a beer guy.
So what would it take you, Derek Mason, to drink a hot beer with pork chunks in it?
I'm not a beer guy, but I'm darn sure not a hot beer guy.
With
so,
pork though,
without I don't. A hot I'm beer not eating no pork. Pork. I'm not eating this. I'm not eating the swine, brother.
That's true. You
I'm don't not eating the swine.
I'm so. Not. I'm not sure.
But
that's
big
hit.
Chunks
I'm not
of
sure
pork.
That's enough for me, dog.
Big chunks of pork.
A big. Do you want?
Is the argument that
if and you're a having, hot beer?
Okay, but is the argument if you're having a beer and a hot dog that eventually those two things that are in the swine beer to start. Will eventually be in your mouth at the same time. So they're just putting it out there before.
I would rather.
Like a beer and a hot dog at a game, that's reasonable. I just like to have them separate.
Some things are meant.
So why
to
why
be together? I get that. Yeah, some things are meant to be together and serve together, but some things are meant to be so separately. And if I want to put them together, I can. If I want to eat my little pork rind and then drink my beer, a cold beer, I can do that. That's a good mixture because it's warm in my mouth eventually. But I'm not taking a warm beer, pour it in a bucket, and then throw some pork in there and then eat. Willie, that.
If somebody from the Nashville Sounds is listening, we will be out there tomorrow for Sounds opening day. If you can replicate this, bring it to our booth tomorrow.
Will you try it?
A hot beer with pork chunks in it?
Would you try it?
I'll take a sip.
Oh.
You got to have the whole thing. You have to
take
a sip.
No.
You have to have the whole thing.
I'm committed to a sip.
If they prepare it, you need to eat it all and drink it all.
A piece of the pork?
The pork has to be involved
in the sip.
In the sip.
In the sip. Okay.
Yes.
If you enjoy it, do you reserve the right to take the rest of it?
No, I should know if they Willie, if they're gonna go out of their way,
hot beer. And
put, if they make it,
you have to have the
whole thing.
You have to at least eat and drink half of it.
Okay, I rescind my statement. All
right. I thought so.
All right, moving on to the NCAA tournament. Three SEC teams are in action tonight, starting with Alabama in San Francisco against BYU. The over/under in terms of total points for this game, the highest by far of the third round, 175.5.
God,
this is expected to be an offensive showcase between BYU and Alabama. Florida, right after that game, also in San Francisco, will take on the Crab 5 of Maryland, which survived in a buzzer beater where there might have been a traveling call.
Yeah, they traveled.
Against Colorado State.
That was
State.
A travel. They didn't call the travel.
They don't call it travel.
So Vanderbilt fans can relate to
you
Jeff,
know they don't
Jeff
call
Green
travel.
Back in the 2008 Georgetown. On, he traveled.
Florida, a 6.5-point favorite after surviving UConn in the second round against Maryland. And then speaking of hot pork, the Arkansas Razorbacks. They play the Texas Tech Red Raiders at 9:09 p.m. in San Francisco. So first game out west, Maryland and Florida, Arkansas and Texas Tech.
Is that like an old Southwest Conference? Didn't Texas Tech and Arkansas used to be in the old Southwest Conference? I think that was the case.
I do not know the answer to that.
But that's going to be a battle. Texas Tech is tough as nails. They're really good. Arkansas is got that thing going right now, though. You could
they're
tell
feeling
the
themselves
they are
right
feeling
now.
Themselves. I don't count them out at all. The one I'm really intrigued is Alabama BYU. That is going to be fun. So BYU routinely here's down the stretch their games, and they were hot down the stretch. They lost to Houston in the Big 12 conference tournament, and they hit a wall in that game. They were held to 54 in that game. But down the stretch, 91, 96, 91, 77, 88, 85, 96. Then they had the game against Houston. Then 80 in the first round against VCU and 91 against Wisconsin. So KenPom projects 89-84 Alabama on the concoction that he has with all of his numbers put in there. So that could be a lot of fun to watch. Alabama, as we know, if you watch them, they're routinely, they could hit 100 every night. Any night, not every night, but any particular night, they could go for 100.
I am not surprised you did not say.
It would not shock me if both of these teams scored at least 90 points tonight. It would not shock me in the slightest.
Willie, I'm surprised. I'm really surprising you. But I'm surprised you didn't. I don't think you said it. I'm surprised that y'all are not zeroing in on Maryland and Florida for this reason. Florida played a hell of a game last game.
Yeah.
They put a lot. I mean, and I know they've had their days off, but that was a battle between UConn. A battle. Can they, even though that there has been, I know there's been days in between, because Maryland's a good team, and I know the whole traveling, and I get all of that. But Maryland's a good team. They got three guys that can flat out play, two guards in the center. They can flat out play. But did that take a lot out of Florida, that UConn game. Can Florida, because they're going to have to ramp it back up again, and I get it. I get it. There has been days between that, so they've been able to rest. But can they come out and play that type of game that they need to play in order to beat Maryland? Because Maryland's going to be another physical team that they're going to have to play against.
Maryland, if you put stock in the KenPom, Maryland is seeded fourth, is a fourth seed, but they have a much higher rating in the KenPom. They're the 10th highest, most efficient team in the KenPom. And so that's intriguing because that would have them more as a three seed than a four seed. So this is a tough matchup for Florida because I'm with you. Maryland is tough as nails. I still like Florida in the game. I'm going to go the other way. I think that Connecticut pushing them will bring out better basketball from Florida, I think. But, look, am I saying that because I picked Florida to win in my bracket? Maybe. Maybe I'm trying to just make the argument. But I've been impressed with Florida all year long. You know, their win over Auburn, they kind of won me over on that game. They won at Auburn by nine. Like, they just flat out whipped Auburn at Auburn. I've watched them play other teams where, like, they're playing good teams and they're just way better in the SEC. They stood out in that league despite all the other good teams in that league. So I'm just going to keep rolling with Florida until somebody stops them. But could Maryland do it? That's the beauty of this tournament. Yes, they could do it.
And I'm not saying that I would, you know, bet against, depending on what the spread is, I might take Maryland in the points.
Six and a half.
I may take
like
Maryland
that?
In the points. Yeah, that sounds good. But if you're talking about straight up, I still believe Florida wins, but I think they're going to have to play another tough physical game.
Well, what's one
like
thing
they did against UConn?
What's one thing we know about Maryland? They tend to play games that come down to the final possession.
Man, have they
ever. A lot of their recent losses, I believe their past four.
Michigan State,
losses,
Michigan.
Northwestern, the game against Northwestern. They lost on the final possession. And it looked like it was going that way against Colorado State. Colorado State hit a three with, 4 seconds left? Fortunately for Maryland, Derek Queen bailed him out with a buzzer beater of his own.
Where he took four steps.
They don't call
but
it traveling.
Maryland,
conservatively, he took three steps.
Yes.
Maryland gets into these tight games that come down to the final possession. So it would not shock me.
Flair for the dramatic.
If Maryland and Florida also came down to the final possession. Arkansas, by the way, the lowest ranked seed remaining in the tournament, the only double-digit seed left. But as you said, Willie, Arkansas playing well, an intriguing matchup against Texas Tech. Texas Tech favored by 5.5.
Can Arkansas shoot well enough from the outside to win this game? Now, listen, they stepped up and they played well. And I'm not sure, you know, how many people were – what was the line? St. John's was favored in that game.
I believe it was 6.5.
So, but basically, Vegas didn't think –
and they did benefit. St. John's, this is their one Achilles heel.
Can't shoot from the outside.
And they really couldn't shoot in
exactly.
that game. And part of it is Arkansas's defense, but it was also they just are not good shooters.
Yeah, so Arkansas, this is another team where – because of their defense, and if they can continue to hit shots, they can make it very interesting, you know, moving forward. I think Coach Cal has gotten his team playing good basketball at the right time, and we'll see what happens. But I am truly – Alabama game, BYU game, I think Alabama wins it. I think it'll be tough to start, but I think eventually, you know, Alabama wins that game. Arizona-Duke game is going to be interesting, too. But I do believe Duke's going to win that game. It's just the Maryland and Florida game. That's the game that I look at, and I'm like, man, if there's going to be an upset, it may be with the 4 and the 1.
I do want to bring this up before we go to break. A man who goes by the name of $1,000 Bill.
$1,000 Bill.
$1,000 Bill.
Is there such a thing? Can you get $1,000 Bill? I think so. Right.
He created a parlay where he bet on Tennessee to win the College World Series, which it did.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers to win the World Series, which they did.
Oh, so this is already in the bank.
Yes.
He's already got this. Okay.
Ohio State to win the national championship
in
football.
3-for-3.
Which it did. The Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
Whoa.
Which they did. And most critically at this point, he picked Duke to win the national championship.
And he's got proof. He's got the ticket.
The odds on this parlay came out to plus $3,365,900.
Okay.
He bet $5. He could win $168,300 if successful. Here's the irony of it all. He's a diehard Florida Gators fan.
And they could meet in the final.
Uh-huh.
They're on the opposite sides of the bracket, so they could meet in the final. Those
so do you –
In
do
fact,
you,
that's the final.
He says,
do you
he says,
even in your heart wish that they win? Yeah.
He
Probably
says
not.
That if he holds on to the ticket and if Duke and Florida were to meet in the national championship, he plans to hedge with
hedge.
A massive wager on the Gators. However, the cash out for the wager, valued at nearly $50,000 headed into the Sweet 16, looms large.
Mm. Well, now everybody knows who Dollar Bill is. It's $1,000 bill.
Well, he loses. He wins on both fronts, because if Duke wins, then he wins. If he who did he pick to win the whole? Oh, Duke.
He
if Duke wins,
win, but
he wins his parlay.
Gator,
so. Yeah, he wins his parlay. Yeah. So he comes out
Get
at least
for his kid's college.
You know, hey, there you go.
615-737-1025.
Community college.
Colleges get pretty expensive.
Exactly. Yeah.
By the way.
There's nothing wrong with community college at all, but I'm just saying.
Price is right.
Yeah, exactly.
That tournament update was presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by TheNewCumberland.com, Twin Peaks, and Bet365. We'll wrap up the show next. An old friend of ours here in Tennessee is in the news. We'll discuss that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 106.3, the game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 106.3, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Jared Stoneman and Company coming up next right here on 1025, 106.3, the game. One thing I didn't touch on today.
Yes.
The Titans announced that they are going to their light blue jerseys as their primary home jerseys starting next season.
That's off. I like the darker blue.
Those will now become alternate jerseys. The team will also not be wearing their throwback Oilers uniforms this season.
I think that probably will be something that does go over well.
The Oilers part of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the fans love it. Now, they've lost in those uniforms more times than not, at least recently. But I think the fan base likes when they wear those Oily uniforms. I mean, I like it because they've redid the sort of how it fits and everything else. But I like it.
I'm not for that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe if the whole league is doing a throwback or you want to do that every couple of years, but I don't think you need to do that every year.
But when they're home, hold on, I'm trying to think. Was their home jerseys? We used to wear white at home sometimes. It was never white.
You guys
we
guys
were white pants. That's what it was. We always wore white pants.
When you were the Tennessee Oilers, you guys almost always wore the white at home.
Yeah,
all white at
the
home.
White pants. I don't
white
know.
Pants, white jersey.
Well, we were the Oilers, yes.
Tennessee Oilers.
Because we never wore the blue.
You guys
we
didn't like
ever
the blue.
Wore the blue. Yeah. I don't think, but really, so we away or home, we were wearing white.
Yeah, I don't really know why the blue fell out of favor. It was kind of not in style.
Yeah.
You guys didn't like it.
Maybe the NFL said something about it, you know. But I mean,
but I'm okay with the light blue. It's not bad. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. I like the dark blue. Either or, it don't matter.
Before we get out of here,
Jeremy
Pruitt, haven't said that name in quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
Jeremy Pruitt is suing the NCAA for $100 million in lost wages.
He wants them to say his name 100 million times.
He filed the suit.
$1,000 bill hanging out with him. Is that his lawyer?
He filed the suit into Cobb County, Alabama. In the complaint, Pruitt claims that the NCAA, quote, conspired with Tennessee, end quote, to make him, quote, a sacrificial lamb.
The fall guy.
For rules violations. He was fired in 2021 and later handed a six-year showcase. He also claims in the suit that Tennessee was illegally paying players before he arrived. And he reported multiple violations to then-Volunteers athletic director Phil Fulmer.
Woo-hoo.
in 2017. The
tea is coming out.
This is not revisionist history. I do believe that at the time when that came down, my impression was, wow, they have put everything on him. Everything on him. They protected Philip Fulmer, who is, of course, revered as the coach. I don't think Philip Fulmer was completely smooth and did a great job as the athletic director, but they didn't want to make him look bad. And remember, Pruitt was the guy that Fulmer hired. But they went out of their way to say, let me, like, I remember the speech, maybe it was the president, was like, let me just commend Philip Fulmer, how great he's been, and he's retiring. Remember, that's what it was. He kind of got out right after that. But he was given the clean bill. You're out. Hey, what a great job you've done for the university. Philip Fulmer, what a legend. And he is for 99% of his tenure as a player and as a coach. But athletic director was not great. It wasn't good. But it was all on Pruitt. He was the villain, the bad guy. Boy, what a despicable human being to all of these things. And he wasn't. He did do a lot of those things. But I can see how Pruitt goes. And I guarantee you, he is going to get some money out of this.
Here's a key point of the suit from the actual complaint. Quote, in December 2017, UT hired Jeremy as its head football coach. Less than 1 week after being hired, Pruitt discovered that payments were being made to some players. At the time, NCAA rules precluded those payments, even though court cases had already called into serious question whether such payments could be prohibited. Pruitt immediately reported what he learned to the athletic director, Philip Fulmer. The athletic director told Pruitt that he would, quote, handle it and deal with the university's compliance department, which was charged with ensuring that the University of Tennessee was complying with NCAA rules. After his termination from the university, Jeremy learned that one or more individuals in the UT athletic department or boosters had systematically engaged in making payments to players at a time when NCAA rules did not allow such payments.
Well, there you go. It'll start coming out. Listen, he's going to get he's not going to get the $400 million, but he's going to get something in there just so stuff like that won't continue to come out.
This goes back to the NCAA as a whole, but you can go back to the last 30, 35 years. There are some really good lawyers that have made a killing representing coaches who have been fired as cheaters. And it's really not always because they weren't cheating. They did cheat to some degree, but when all the evidence comes out, a lot of schools will end up settling and paying those coaches because, first of all, the coach a lot of times has a ton of money owed to him or her left on their deal when they get fired, and they fire them for cause so you don't get any of the money.
Exactly.
So it ends up you have a lot of receipt. If he can prove what he's saying, he's going to get a big chunk of the money that he was probably owed on his contract because let's not forget, right before they did this, what did they do?
Gave him a new contract.
A huge new contract. After the, I think he had one decent year. They beat the teams they were supposed to beat. They won a bowl game and things were looking good. Let's give him an extension. And then not too long after that, he's the worst coach ever. How could he do this to the program? He's brought the program down.
The lawsuit says the NCAA punished Pruitt for something that is no longer illegal. At the time of the hearing and punishment, the NCAA knew that the rules it was purporting to enforce were effectively made invalid by ruling of the U.S. Supreme Court. Jeremy Pruitt may be the last coach in America to be punished for impermissible player benefits.
Well, I mean, he's going to find a way, rightfully so. I mean,
it is funny looking back on that.
If you think you've been unjustly fired or, you know, they're blaming you or conspiring against you to make you the scapegoat, and you end up getting fired, especially after just signing a massive deal, an extension.
And let's also remember that Tennessee was able to avoid big punishment by the NCAA because they were able to say, well, look, we got rid of Pruitt. It was him doing all this stuff. They didn't have to have a bowl ban or any major punishment, where it did look like for a while that when they were under investigation, they could get hit with some significant penalties. They avoided those. I'm sure that's going to come up in the case as well.
So we will
by making him the scapegoat, it helped Tennessee.
We will keep an eye on that lawsuit. Jeremy Pruitt suing the NCAA for $100 million in lost wages.
$100 million.
I can't remember if that's the total in Austin Powers.
I think it was just $1 million.
It was only $1 billion.
Yes. There we go. But yeah. that'll do it for us today here on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. The Predators are back in action tonight once again against the St. Louis Blues. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We will be live at First Horizon Park tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
For opening day.
It's technically opening day for minor league
baseball.
Yes, AAA. It's technically opening day. They did it the right way. Not like the MLB had one in Japan and then called this the opening day. But no, you created this problem, MLB, so I'm going to call it the opening day a couple of days ago or a week ago.
We will be out there. The Sounds open their season against the deliciously named Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. We'll see if there is a swine brew out there for me.
I hope there
Maybe
is, please.
Yes.
A Jumbo Shrimp brew.
Ugh.
What if the beer is cold? Will you drink it if it's see, if it's cold, I can accept you drinking that. But a hot beer, no, man.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. But that'll do it for us. Stillman & Company coming up next.
Be love on your people and everyone around you. Have a blessed, safe, and wonderful Thursday. Peace.
Let's go.